from the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri. This is a time of hope.
Good morning, and welcome to all here at the California United Church of Christ. Understand we have a number of guests and visitors today. What a joy to have you all with us today. With that, shall we rise for our call to worship? Trusting in the word of life given in baptism, we are gathered in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Give thanks to the Lord, for the Lord is good. You stilled the storm to a whisper,
and silenced the waves of the sea.
Then were they glad when it grew calm.
We united into quiet waters.
Let us give thanks to you, Lord, for your steadfast love. Join in the prayer of the day for the fifth Sunday after Pentecost. O God of creation, eternal majesty, you preside over land and sea, sunshine and storm. By your spirit, by your power, preserve us. By your wisdom, instruct us. And by your hand, protect us. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Our children's time is presented by our senior high puppeteers.
Good morning. Thank you for coming today. Do you ever get scared of something? I sure do.
I do too. I get scared of lightning and thunder.
I do too. I get scared of lots of wind.
I do.
I do too. I get scared when I get a hole in my boat and water starts coming in.
You know, we all get scared of something. But we have to trust God that everything will be all right. In our Bible story today, we hear of other people who were scared.
Our Bible story today tells of Jesus' life.
Our Bible story today tells of Jesus' life. He just picked out his closet. Friends, or closest friends, they were called apostles. There were so many people that came to hear him speak.
Many of his teachings that he told the crowds were stories about farming or things they could understand.
After a long day of teaching the people, Jesus decided to get in a boat and go to the other side of the lake. Jesus was so tired that he went to sleep.
All at once, a big storm came up. There was wind and rain, water started coming into the boat.
The boat was almost full of water when his friends went to Jesus, shouting, "Teacher, don't you even care that we are going to drown?"
Jesus woke up and said to the wind and water, "Quiet down!" The wind stopped and the water calmed down.
The apostles were so surprised that they said, "Who is this man that even the wind and the waves obey him?"
Please bow your heads for prayer. Dear God, thank you for loving us, help us trust in you, and be kind to all who we meet this week. In Jesus' name, amen. You may go back to your seats.
Our Old Testament scripture lesson is read by Carol Barber. It's followed by the gospel reading and his sermon, Peace Be Still, by our pastor, Reverend Gene Mall.
The first reading is reading from the 38th chapter of Job, verses 1 through 11. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind, "Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up your loins like a man. I will question you, and you shall declare to me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determines its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst forth from the womb? When I made clouds its garments and thick darkness its swaddling band and prescribed bonds for it and set bars and doors and said, 'Thus far shall you come and no farther, and here shall your proud waves be stayed.'"
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 4th chapter. On that day when evening had come, Jesus said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, and just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. And he said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Well, dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Imagine yourself on a cruise ship out there in the Atlantic Ocean. You know, maybe some of you have been on a cruise. And you're sitting in the room on the third floor. And you look out of the window and you see waves. 30-foot waves crashing against the window. It's a hurricane-force wind tossing the ship to and fro. Enormous waves against the glass, and some of the fellow passengers leaned against the window and said, "We're just staying in one place, hoping not to die." Well, the passengers on the Royal Caribbean cruise ship experienced something like this a couple of years ago as they ran into a monster storm traveling from Brown, New Jersey, down to Florida. And thousands of guests and crew members were buffeted by these 150-mile-hour winds. that really caused the ship to tip dangerously off center. And they threw the stuff off the shelves, and the deck chairs were flying, and the ceiling was falling, and a few passengers were injured. And not surprisingly, everybody got a full refund. That's the least Royal Caribbean could do for people who paid rooms for the third floor and suddenly found themselves looking at water. It's like a passenger in the cruise ship. You're the disciples of Jesus did not expect to run into a monster storm when they crossed the Sea of Galilee. And they were looking forward to getting away from the crowd and enjoying a pleasant cruise. But as they sailed across the water, a great windstorm arose. And it caused the waves to crash into the boat and to swamp it. And Jesus was sleeping in the back of the boat. But the disciples panic and they wake him up saying, you know, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? The disciples are scared to death and simply have to know if Jesus is with them or not with them at this crucial time. So now as we look at this scene and unpack it, the disciples and Jesus may have been really drained from all of the contact with the people because there were a lot of people on the shore there. He was dead tired. And we ask again, you know, why did the disciples cross the lake? Well, we could say to get to the other side as a simple answer, but that's not the right answer here. The real answer is because Jesus told them to. Remember that. And on that day when evening had come, Jesus said to them, let us go across to the other side. And so they left the crowd behind and they took Jesus with them. And then it was that the windstorm arose. Not just any windstorm, but it says a great windstorm. And remember, some of these disciples were fishermen. They were probably used to some storms. But not this one. And so they look around, where is Jesus? Well, he's sleeping. How can he sleep? How can he sleep at this time? How can he do this? Doesn't he see what's happening? It was a cry of hopelessness. And so we find here a series of four questions that follow. The first one we noted already, it comes from the disciples. Teacher, why do you not care that we are perishing? And what does Jesus do? He wakes up, he rebukes the wind, and said the sea was calm. Peace, be still, he said. And there was dead calm. And I'm sure with the people too. So now it was time for Jesus to ask two questions. Why are you afraid? And have you still no faith? They had been with Jesus and they had seen how he brings calm to people's lives. And still when the chips were down, they did not quite understand. Their reaction, they were filled with awe and said to one another, and here's question four, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? We thought we knew this guy, but who then is this? See, we may know God, we might know about God, but suddenly when we stand in the presence of God, we stand in awe. And so these words are also for us, that we too get caught in the happenings of life, and this can be our storm. Life may go on rather calmly. Our summer activities, you know, shift a little, lives a little bit, but we settle down to routines, and we get the kids to programs and activities, and we go to celebrations, and reunions are happening like reported in the newspaper all the time. It's a refreshing change of pace. And then a storm might sweep in, and it catches us by surprise. A loved one is diagnosed with this threatening illness, or a marriage is challenged, or some other crisis hits, and our routine is upended, and we're scared out of our summer rhythm. I'm going to share one about myself. It happened several years ago as I was out bicycling. And although there was some light rain falling, it was a rather routine biking day as I was on a tour with about 300 others and from state park to state park in Missouri. And then a real storm hit. As we crossed the Missouri River Bridge at Miami, Missouri, there is a Miami, Missouri if you didn't know it, there was an expansion joint that was a little bit wide. And as the bike went across, it bumped and it broke the holder for my front bike bag, which proceeded to go down and get caught between the wheel and the fork. And the only thing that happens then is that the wheel comes to a stop and the bike goes like this. And whoever is on it goes like this. And I hit the deck. And my biking friends took one look at me and they said, "Ooh, you're going to need some stitches," and they call 911. All I needed to hear at that time were the words, "Peace, be still." And the ambulance came and they strapped me down and they headed to emergency. "Peace, be still." What will the stitching do to me? "Peace, be still." Why are they taking these x-rays of my neck in various places? "Well, peace, be still." How will I ever get back out of this hospital in Marshall, Missouri? "Well, peace, be still." And someone from the tour did show up finally and pick me up. Is my bike usable again? Is it rideable again? What about the next day? "See, peace, be still." Oh yeah, and then my glasses were in the bike bag. And when I took them out, they sort of looked like a pretzel. And so I went to the bike repairman and I found a couple needle nose pliers and I kept working and bending on them until they actually fit on my head again. And so then I said, "Well, will I continue the tour or do I go home?" "Peace, be still." Well, you know, these are the days, this is only about the year 2000, and that doesn't seem like a very long time ago, but for some of us here, you don't realize there were no smartphones in those days. Cell phones were a little bit in the infancy yet in some ways. And we were up there, I think, at Pershing State Park, and there was very little reception, but the planners of the tour had about three or four phones, and they said they work some part-time. So I called home, which was, I think, Blue Springs at that time, and the first thing I heard was a lot of static on the line, and I did understand Gladys saying that there's a bad thunderstorm going on right now, and I can't hear very well. So I got right to the basis, and I said, "I had a bike wreck today." And she would only say, "Oh, that's nice." She could not understand what I was saying. And I said, I went over the handlebars, and I got hauled off to the hospital. "Oh, that's nice." You know. And after a few more of these exchanges, I just said, I'll try calling you again tomorrow. You know? So the long and the short is I continued to ride, and I think we went up to Thousand Hills State Park the next day and continued for a few more days after that till the week was over. Well, guess what text came up the next Sunday? The one we have for today. In today's gospel reading, cannot guarantee that the sudden storms will not sweep into our lives, even on the sunny days of summer. But what the gospel does affirm is the presence of someone greater than any storm that can rock our lives, and it calms our fears and renews our faith. We remember that when happenings happen. You know, even Job in that first reading for today was really complaining to God, and God had to sort of bring peace back to his life. Now let's take another look, though, at this gospel. Earlier I said, why did they take this trip and cross the sea? Remember? It's because Jesus asked them to. Perhaps the disciples needed to learn a lesson on faith and trust. Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith? See, their fears were winning out over their faith. And all they could see in him, and that their faith was too fragile to trust. They were not ready to find peace like Jesus sleeping in the boat. As the disciples of our Lord, our faith too may be fragile at times as well. But Jesus does not give up on us. Nor did he give up on his disciples. Perhaps Jesus asked them also to cross the other side, to lead them into new areas of work and discipleship. Who were those people on the other side? As far as we know, they were Gentiles. They did not know about Jesus. They did not understand Jewish religious traditions and beliefs. And he would say to them, we must go to them also. Yes, peace, be still with that message. See, often the alternative is to risking the dangerous stormy crossing is to stay tied up on the shore. And unfortunately, as one person put it, that's the picture of many churches today. A peaceful, restful club house that's on the shore rather than a boat following Jesus' command to take the fearful risk across the lake. We are often more willing to be safe than to risk and answer Jesus' call to go to the other side. It has been said, you know, the church is not a luxury liner, although sometimes the church is compared to a boat and the people sitting here in the nave in the center of the boat. But we're not a luxury liner granting passage and comfort to all who qualify and clamor to board. But rather, we're a rescuing lifeboat, sometimes listing, sometimes leaking, but always guided by the captain, Jesus, at the helm. Here is a story that I'm going to share with you this morning that may share this point of view. On a dangerous seacoast where shipwrecks often occurred, there was once a crude little life-saving station, and the building was just a hut, and there was only one boat. But the few devoted members kept a constant watch over the sea, and with no thought for themselves, they went out day and night tirelessly searching for the lost. And many lives were saved by this wonderful little station, so that it became famous. Some of those who were saved and various others in the surrounding area wanted to become associated with the station and give of their life and money and efforts for the support of the work. And new boats were bought, and new crews were trained, and the little life station, saving station, grew. Well, some of the members of the life saving station were unhappy that the building was so crude and poorly equipped, and they felt more that needed to be a more comfortable place, and it should be provided for those being saved on the sea. So they replaced the emergency cots with beds, and they put better furniture in the enlarged building, and now the life-saving station became a popular gathering place for the members. And they decorated it beautifully and furnished it exquisitely because they used it as sort of a club. And fewer members were now interested in going to sea on life-saving missions. And so they hired lifeboat crews to do that work. And the life-saving motif still prevailed in the club's decoration. And there was a liturgical lifeboat in the room where the club initiations were held. Well, about this time, a large ship wrecked on the coast, and the hired crews brought in boatloads of cold and wet and half-drowned people. And they were dirty and sick, and some of them with black skin and some with yellow skin. And this beautiful new club was constantly messed up. And so the property committee decided to build a shower house outside the club where the victims of shipwreck could be cleaned up before coming inside. Well, at the next meeting, there was a split in the membership, and most of the members wanted to stop the club's life-saving activities as being unpleasant and a hindrance to the normal social life of the club. And so some of the members insisted upon life-saving as a primary purpose and pointed out that they were still called to be a life-saving station. But they were finally voted down and told that if they wanted to save lives of all these various kinds of people who were shipwrecked in the waters, they could begin their own life-saving station down the coast. So they did. And as the years went by, the new station experienced the same changes that had occurred in the old one. And it evolved into a club. And yet another life-saving station was founded. And history continued to repeat itself. And if you visit that coast today, you would find a number of exclusive clubs along the shore. Shipwrecks are frequent in those waters, but most of the people drowned. Well, may this never be the picture of this congregation. And so, Lord, help us today. to say, "Peace, be still," for our lives when we need it. And help us to share this message to those who need it around us in life. Amen. And the peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray to our Father, whose power and wisdom are far above any mortal, and whose love reaches out to every living thing on earth. When dangers invade our sense of safety and we wonder if our Redeemer cares, we hear the invitation, "Peace, be at peace, be calm." When we face job loss and financial downturns, and our sense of security is shaky, and we hear the invitation, "Be at peace, be calm." When our congregations empower a search committee to seek new pastoral leadership for us, we hear the invitation, "Be at peace, be calm." When controversial issues and rigidity of spirit threaten to tear at the very fabric of the faith community, we hear the invitation, "Be at peace, be calm." When our lives feel chaotic and desolate, because of illness or sorrow, we hear the invitation, "Be at peace, be calm." Help us to know, O God, that the one who calmed the dangerous sea is present with us and cares for us and can calm the stormy waters of our lives. Be with the sick and the ill, and remember Norman Robeck as he's hospitalized again, and give them renewed strength for their lives. Help us to trust more fully and more deeply in you. We pray in the name of Jesus, who invites us to be at peace and to pray as he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
We're glad you joined us in this time of hope. If you don't have a church home in this area, please come and grow with us at the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri. Sunday school starts at 9:30 this morning, with church following at 10:30. Until we meet again, may God bless and keep you.